Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the gods will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 736, I think.
Kevin's not here to correct us, so yeah, 736. Yeah.
So there, John Wick, 4 hours long. So the titling of these movies is weird.
You want to do your shameless plug before we get into that?
Well, we should probably introduce ourselves.
I guess that's
Let's
fair.
Let's go around the table and we can introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
And we have Paul Harris returning. It's been a bit.
Yes, it has.
And he's back because I saw him at the screening.
Perfect.
And Kevin is out. He is...
Making salsa.
He's got some problem with the high table. We're not really supposed to talk about it.
He is. Him and his bride took just a little weekend getaway to Waco, Texas. And
definitely a choice.
They're enjoying the rally.
Yeah, I'm sure there's that... That David Koresh house is still there, right?
No.
I think they burned that to the ground.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not watch the last episode of that,
I guess that's
Netflix
fair.
Special?
That's true. Yeah. I
did. Little broadcasting trivia. Waco, one of the few towns in America with call letters matching the name of the town for the radio station.
Look at that.
Weird.
That's pretty cool.
It's the only... better than the other thing that they have to claim the fame.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the only cool thing Waco is known for.
Sorry, Waco.
So, I don't think they listen.
No, they don't.
And if they live there, they know.
That's also fair.
Yes. How can you say that about... never mind.
Yeah, right. We get it.
So, the titling of these movies is just... It's like John Wick.
Excellent.
Get it.
Yep.
John Wick Chapter 2. Oh, we're going to get fancy. We're books.
We're yes. Chapters,
right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, right.
And then John Wick Chapter 3... Parabellum,
which means the art of war.
Oh,
or war's beginning.
We have subtitles,
correct?
Now. Like we have. Okay, and then John Wick Chapter 4. Well, what happened to the?
Yeah. We lost a little.
Why does just one got the little addendum?
That's a good. I will say, I think from interviews that I've seen is they thought that they're like, we're going to do the first one and then we're good. Like,
right.
We were not going to do anymore. Like, they didn't expect to get any more. Then they did this. They kept having that mindset as they would go into them. So when they gave 3 a title, I'm sure they were just like, okay, we're done. Like, this is it.
Well, no, because 3 clearly.
3 definitely leaves off.
Like, 1 ends, it's a complete unit. 2.
No, 3 ends with him being like, he got away. Right? Because 3, the end of 3 is.
No, because they were like, the only way this ends is if you take out the high table or something. And because he's like on the run. I think 2 kind of ends where it's like they could do more, but they don't have to.
Yeah.
But 3 is a definite cliffhanger. Is like.
But no, they shoot him at the end.
Yeah, he falls and hits.
He falls off
the fire escape and the awning.
He's on the top of the roof with the adjudicator, and it's Winston and John and I think the concierge.
Right.
RIP. in the movie and in real life.
Yep.
They say that the only way Winston gets back in is if he kills John. And he's like, okay. And he shoots John, and John falls off of the roof of the
right.
The Continental.
And then, oh, so I'm on Wikipedia, which we all know is never wrong.
Never wrong.
John arrives. Okay. Winston Winston shoots him. This is the last paragraph. Winston shoots him. John falls to the street below. Winston reassumes his position. Oh, this is the porn parody, John.
Yeah, that's very different.
Sorry. Yeah. And the severely injured John is secretly delivered to the Bowery King in an underground bunker, and the two agree to join forces against the High Table.
Okay.
So I couldn't remember what, but I was like, I knew the third one was like, there is a fourth one. Like, that was not a complete story.
Sure, sure, sure. That makes sense. I forgot about that little tag where he ends up back with Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
So we also thought was dead, but wasn't.
Right.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I think this is the greatest action movie franchise of all time. I think with so many franchises, Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, Terminator, Rambo, all
Police
that stuff.
Police Academy.
Don't talk about that in front of Matt Basler. He'll have a PTSD. There's a significant dip in quality, at least by the third one. Sometimes you get a Die Hard 3 that works. Terminator 3 does not work. Predators does not. Oh, actually, that's not bad. I think because that they have had the same creative team. We've said this with the DC stuff, though, that they have been consistently on point with telling the story they wanted to tell, keeping the quality of the movie intact and to a pretty high level.
And they did it within a compressed period of time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they didn't.
When's that first one?
The first one.
Is it 14?
Is 14. Yeah. So, like, they didn't. So, I mean, it's been basically 10 years at this point, but four movies in 10 years is a very solid rhythm. They didn't
wait. Really, four movies in 8 years because of COVID.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, I mean, there's 2 years where they just couldn't accomplish anything.
Right.
But they didn't, like, wait 10 years between movies, right? So I think that helps. But, But real quick, let's do shameless plugs to get out of the way.
Yes.
Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always nice and helpful. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares. We're hoping you'll share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Librarian Cynthia, Phil Timon, Gabriel Lugo, Chris Valls, Ralph Tribble, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Josh Rosen, Christopher Rex, Heather Sachs, Julian Jordan, Edit Photo Gamer, Invasion of the Remake, David Rojas, Geek to Me Radio, Batman Rye Guy, Feelin' Film, Binge Movies, Mike and Oscar, DC Tweets.
Hey now.
It's an account that just says they pick 5 random DC tweets per hour and retweet them.
Okay.
And we did it.
Dang Skippy.
Yeah. Spoiler Piece Theater, Ronnie Castle, Nostalgia Cast, Matt Neglia, and Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd podcast.
Who avoided the Brad Hyde rule.
Yes, he did. So thank you very much for doing that. We greatly appreciate it. Also, you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and we like you more. So okay.
we did get it's not a review, but we did get a ranking. So we got a 5-star ranking on iTunes, which was nice.
Uh-huh.
And the person that did it reached out and just said, hey, I think I screwed that up, basically.
He's like, I meant to give you 1-star.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So that's right. Yeah. And they couldn't go back through. But she did ask if we could plug her band. She has a 90s alternative, like, rock cover band based here in town.
Okay.
Called Polly in the Pocket. I listened to one of their tunes, and she does sound eerily similar to Alanis Morissette.
Okay.
Like, she's really good. I think her name is Stephanie.
No mean feat.
No. So there you go. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for the rating, and there's your little plug, since you were so kind to us.
Yeah. I guess there's two ways you can mimic Alanis Morissette. One is sounding like her.
Correct.
The other is going to a movie with her.
That's exactly right. Isn't it ironic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't you think? So also, you should check out, if you haven't, there's a documentary on HBO Max about Jagged Little Pill.
Oh, really?
That's really good. It just follows her career and the things she went
through. Did they say who that song is about?
Essentially. Okay. They still kind of
don't.
Is it
Dave Coulier?
Yeah. I mean, okay. They still don't. I don't feel like they officially say, like, for sure that it's him.
Yeah.
But they talk about their relationship and.
You know, she was 19 when they started dating?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, John Wick.
So going back to that, I do like this franchise. There was this different style of action movie that took over. Probably, I think the Raid Redemption, the first Raid movie, is the first time we see this. You can also go back to movies with starring Tony Jaa, start like Ong Bak and things like that, where they got away from the gunplay and it's all hand to hand stuff. Like very, very tight choreography, all kinds of stuff. And I think the Raid kind of introduced that to a broader American audience that kind of got transferred into Dredd starring Carl Urban, not Judge Dredd starring Sylvester Stallone. It's a very different movie. Mm. But man, these flicks, just when you think they're like, well, okay, there's nothing left for you to do, they're like, oh, hold my beer, because have we got some insane things to show you? I don't know. I'm probably biased, but if this doesn't at least get nominated for cinematography in the next Oscars, I think that's a crime, because this is a crazily shot movie with some action. Like, to shoot action the way they did in this is unbelievable.
The overhead scene where we see him moving from room to room late in the movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're looking down on a, you know, you go to somebody's basement and they have a model of a house. And you were looking at it from above. The fact that they had an action scene moving through doorways in this multi-room place, fantastic.
It's incredible.
I've never seen that.
No. I mean, they do like the, you know, we talked about Rope and True Detective and things like that, but not to the level of like, okay, you're going to have to hit your mark. And there's no cuts. I mean, I'm sure there are cuts, but.
Yeah, there are ways to insert cuts to still make it look like one tracking shot. I'm not saying they did that. I don't know if they did, but there are ways these days to accomplish that.
Yeah, that scene and the staircase scene are unbelievable in just like the craft of putting an action sequence together.
Can I just say one thing about the staircase scene towards the end? He rolls down a really long staircase have to get up, or else he's going to not.
He's got amazing. He's on a clock.
Right. I think that the stunt person who was doing the rolling down actually had to actively try to get to the next batch of steps.
I know, right?
Because there are at least three landings that he hits that are like 15 yards long.
Yeah, sure.
And yes, he's spinning as he's falling, as he's rolling. But if you were ever a little kid and you started rolling down a hill and you started going on an angle and you had to correct yourself so that you kept going, that's the sort of thing I think the stuntman had to do here.
Yes.
It's like that scene from The Simpsons where he falls down the hill when he's skateboarding across the ravine.
Dope. I sure there is CG used. There has to be. But I don't know where.
Oh, I know where.
Where?
Well, no, not necessarily in that scene, but every place in the movie somebody fires a gun.
That's true.
Because they did not use real guns on this because Alec Baldwin was not involved.
But I think this is the sort of action movie that uses CG to clean things up.
Probably.
Not like Fast and Furious where they don't even have cars anymore. Like, it's just, it's basically a cartoon.
They added in the muzzle flash and all of that stuff.
And it works, you know, sometimes that doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I think in this one, it is so expertly done that you can't tell.
No.
You know?
So.
Yeah, here we go. I knew it.
Overall, I liked this movie.
Okay.
I do not love it the way some people do. I think it is way too long. You don't get your first action scene for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not counting him riding on a horse and shooting at a couple people. That's not an action scene.
It looked cool.
Wait a minute.
Especially in this movie.
Wait a minute. A chase through the Sahara on horseback with gunplay? That's not an action scene?
No, not for this movie.
I mean, I think in a different movie,
if I go to see a porno and it's 30 minutes of kissing, that's not a porno.
Okay.
I haven't seen sex yet. This is porno action. Yeah. And it's like, but it's really just like, hey, remember that time we rode through the desert and shot at a dude? Oh, yeah. But it's not like these giant choreographed action scenes like we get from these sorts of
movies. In a part where they were doing missionary, that doesn't count. It's not until later where they're doing the porn sex.
What, are they
this
married?
Is boring. I think in a different movie, you were right.
And
this is an action beat. In this movie, it's not.
It's not. Yeah. And so, it's 30 minutes before you get your first real, true choreographed action set piece, and that's too long. Especially my other complaint about this franchise in general, and overall I've enjoyed these movies, is that the first one, the charm of it was there was this kind of, you know, mythology that they were playing with.
Sure.
That was just ridiculous, right?
that he's this like unkillable hitman,
and that there's this whole secret world, and that, you know, like, and there was this charm to it because it was just Looney Tunes,
sure,
and it left a lot of things unanswered, and the more questions they answer, the less charming it gets.
And the
more it's just like, well, this is just kind of dumb now. Like, so before when it was like, oh, this is just the way it works, and just deal with it.
You're talking about the Wikiverse.
Yes. Yeah. And like, the more they do of that, the more I'm just like, okay, like, now it's like, in the original one, I could believe that, like, maybe this stuff didn't pop up on the news.
Sure.
Right.
When the Continental blows up in this one.
Right.
And it's just like, that's a building in the middle of New York that just exploded.
And it's gone now. Right. Right. And
it's a shell.
Yeah. And so, like, that sort of stuff.
That's
like,
fair.
The more they fall in love with their own mythology, like, the kind of the less charming the franchise gets, it's still really good. And I will also say, I think that the last hour and a half, hour 45-ish of this movie is so solid.
Yeah.
That I think people are kind of forgetting how boring the first 30 to 45 minutes of this movie were.
Yeah.
And that if when they go back to rewatch it, I think a lot of people are going to be like,
yeah, but then you're going to miss the Ian McShane scenes.
Which he must have got his teeth fixed, because he definitely had some chompers in this movie.
Yes.
And he was chewing some scenery with them.
Yeah.
And I loved every second of it.
He steals focus from everything every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, from his teeth or from his acting?
Yes.
From his acting.
Oh, okay. But no, I kind of agree and I kind of disagree in that first one, right? We get the coins and we get the hotel and how it's got all this stuff. And then the second one, they kind of build on that. And the third one, they're building on that. So I do.
Well, the first one, like, there's these coins and you're just like, oh, like, that's.
And you get
just
a guy that comes and cleans your house.
And it's just kind of like so weird and random.
Right.
That it's kind of like, I dig this. But then they start like, well, here's where the coins come from. Like, no. Right.
I don't disagree. I don't want to know.
Like, I wanted to just be like, well, you know, what you need to do is you just need to bring a rabbit to this location and then they will give you a gun, but you have to find an octopus to get the bullets.
Right.
No reason whatsoever.
None.
Okay. Like, I liked it when it was doing that better.
I don't need the origin of the coins. I don't need that
right.
stuff. But I do like expanding kind of the world where, you know, in two, John had like a blood oath. And when the guy finds out that John is back in the game, he's like, I'm cashing in.
Yeah.
And so we get like this little coin thing that's got a blood thumbprint in it. I was like, okay, that's fine. That's more of that world. And then in three, they, you know, but by the time we get to this one, they're like, by the way, here's the chosen one. And here's Bill Skarsgård. Sarsgaard? Skarsgård.
Yeah. I don't know.
Skarsgård.
I stopped caring.
Pennywise.
Yeah.
That's who he is. And he's like the guy underneath the top guys. I was like, yeah, man, sure. Whatever.
The Marquis.
Thank you. But I don't need the origin of the coins. I don't need.
Why,
like,
is there no coins app yet? It's 2023, for God's sake.
Well, because they don't use smartphones, right? Like, all the technology that they use is really old.
Like 20 years behind.
Right. So they're using flip phones. And right. Like, when you see them working, they were on these old, like, CRT DOS monitors.
Yeah, you're right.
There's no record.
Which is what I didn't like when you saw the Sarsgaard character. Is that they showed his assistants had flat screens.
Oh, that's true. They did, didn't they?
And I'm like, but that's not the technology you use in this world.
That's fair.
Like,
that's a good point.
They use all this old technology, so I don't think they've ever said it flat out, which I like that they haven't said it flat out, but presumably because it's not going to get hacked, right? Like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's they've got their own world that uses all this old technology, and that's how they keep everything secret, which I liked it when it kind of was doing things like that, and I like the fact that they've never really flat out told you that.
Yeah,
they just like that's just,
you'll figure it out
how we operate.
Yeah, so this one kind of kicks off kind of where we leave off in three, where John is going back. You know, he gets a suit from Lawrence Fishburne. This one has a black shirt, so you know that this is a serious thing. And this is the one thing that I didn't like is I feel like in the first two. They definitely tell you that these suits are sort of bulletproof. You know what I mean? Like, you can take a hit, but you're still going to hurt.
Right.
I feel like in this one, they doubled down on, like, no. They'll block anything.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, you know, and I do kind of like the choreography of them taking their jackets and, like, holding them up over their heads.
Yeah.
But that does kind of take a little bit of the fun out of it, where it's like, so now you just have to shoot. You have to hope you can shoot him in the head.
Right.
So, and they play that a lot in this flick, where everybody's, the Marquis suits,
why
John's
does anyone
suit.
Use anything other than the suit?
I don't know.
Like, when you see all these other people coming in, I'm like, oh, why didn't you that get was
also, you don't have enough coins.
That could be. And you're a low-level hitman. But there was a moment where I was like, oh, thank God. Like, he gets to actually kill real people, where he's not, like, having to, you know. So John goes back to see the high chosen guy from 2, but it's a different guy because I guess they couldn't get the one from 2 back, and says, can I have my ring back, please? Like, and they're like, no. He's like, cool, bam, shoots that guy, which now starts a whole new process where Bill Skarsgård has basically tells Winston, he's like, look, this is on you. We're blowing up your hotel. You're out, and we're gonna kill the concierge. And I wonder if they kill Lance
Riddick.
I wonder if he was already sick.
I was wondering but the articles I've read, they all say, like, from an undisclosed, like, people don't seem to know.
Oh.
Why, at least when the story originally broke, it wasn't like after a battle with cancer, right. Or
I
so,
did, the way they
I had the same thought.
Yeah, the way they dispatch him, where basically Skarsgård says, you know, you're right, Winston, you don't have to die, but bam, this guy does. The way they get rid of him so quick, and he was such a fixture in the franchise 1 through 3, the way they get rid of him so fast, I was like, man, maybe he was already sick.
My mind went to the exact same place.
So now John has to find a way to not only kill everybody, but he has to save his buddy Winston at the same time. And so, like, we talk about world building, where now we kind of, at the end of this movie, Winston calls him son and speaks to him in Russian. And I was like, are you telling me this entire time, like, their father and son, like, but, and they've never, because the way they act
I heard
towards
it more
each other,
as just an older guy would be like, okay, son, I didn't hear it. Because he didn't, I think if that was what they were trying to tell you, I think they would have had John Wick call him dad. Like, that's undeniable.
He does. Yeah. I just thought, like, and then
it's not like Winston
refers
to him as Luke.
Yeah,
that's fair. Everybody be like, no, his name's John. What are you talking about?
It was like, okay, Winston Wick.
Yeah. Then he calls him Mr. Wick. And he's like, no. Oh, I see. So now we are told that the bounty on John has gone up. So now everybody's after him even more. And that the only way he can get his freedom is he has to go back to this old school way and challenge the guy from the Marquee to a duel.
I never realized how much being a hitman was like a legitimate career path. Mm-hmm.
Paperwork.
There's so many.
So many who are just hanging around waiting for a special secret message.
Yeah.
Like, and then they don't act when it's 1 million or 2 million.
Right.
5 million. No, it's not enough for me.
Think about it.
Yeah.
7 million, though.
And there's so many. I was like, is this like stand-up comics? You got all these open micers.
Well, they do that. Remember, they kind of do that at the end of 2. Winston,
there's always been lots of, you know,
right,
of these extra hitmen just hanging around.
There's a lot.
Hoping for their shot.
There's a lot of red shirts in this movie.
No pun intended.
Yeah, right. We kind of get a little bit of John's backstory, which we've never gotten. We just know that he was this ultimate hitman that was he could hit any mark, he could do whatever. But now we're starting to get a little bit of a background where the high table has his uncle killed, I think. And he has to go back to Russia or to Belarus or something to get this seal, and the family has to back his claim to having to kill this duel.
Well, he doesn't have like a family to back him.
And I think he's got to go.
No, he doesn't anymore.
Oh, yeah. Because
he was kicked out.
Yes.
And so now he's got to go find a family that will let him glob on.
His uncle, Piotr, was killed by this Scott Adkins, who is... Google Scott Adkins, and he's the guy in the suit. And when you see him and the things that he's doing in that suit, it's like, brother, that's impressive. Because, he's wearing... We see him later where he's like this... you know, overly heavy set mob guy.
Yeah.
But in real life, he's like a jacked to the gills martial artist.
This character felt like it was from a different movie.
This character felt like he was in like
Dick Tracy.
Yeah. Like, and it was fine. Like
Wick Tracy.
But it did this is the first time I felt like a lot of these characters, you know, the Halle Berry character, the Ian McShane, they all feel pretty like they live in this world. This is the first time this kind of felt like a cartoon.
Yeah.
A little bit. But I will say
this is like John Wick Adventures on CBS Saturday mornings.
Right. Introducing this guy, this mob boss. But yeah, so to get the claim that he can go have a duel with
the Marquis,
he has to kill this guy. This Scott Adkins is the actor's name. And this is the scene where, you know, dealing with concussion. I was like, well, I'm either going to die or be okay. Because this whole thing, I think this is kind of where the movie picks up, I think.
Agreed.
Where he's fighting off all of these goons in the club, and there's a really good fight sequence with Scott Adkins. And Scott Adkins he's a B-level actor, right? He does like Undisputed 4 or things like that. I think he was in one of the Ip Man movies with Donnie Yen, who is in this one, and it's a criminal offense that the American audiences are just now seeing this guy because he is amazing. And I just think he's a little old.
Right.
And he can't do the things that he used to be able to do, which is a shame because he is that scene where it's punches
Jackie Chan trajectory.
It is the Jackie Chan. Jet Li is another one. There's a scene where he throws punches at a guy's face. And you're just like, oh, wait, that was like 55 punches in a matter of 2 seconds. Like, holy
God.
Sorry, Kevin. I just think this flick, it definitely feels like the end of John. Well,
I mean,
it is the end of this spoilers.
Movie can do anything. And if they wanted to make another one,
yeah,
they could figure out a way.
I think Keanu's probably done.
Yeah,
probably. Maybe.
Have you seen the check, Keanu?
That's also true. But also, he strikes me as the guy who's like, yeah, man, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I would agree with that.
He gave his money away for, what, the Matrix 2 and 3? Is that right? One or...
Did he? I don't know.
That's always the rumor, is that he gave 3/4 of his salary to the... Because those movies put some, like a VFX studio out of business. And he made sure that everybody got paid.
Okay.
Like, extra. Millions upon millions of dollars for those movies.
Yeah, they all make an enormous amount of money, and they say, no, I wouldn't do that because I don't need the money. And then they make Indiana Jones 5.
I mean, you know.
Although Harrison Ford has never said, no, I won't do that because I don't need the money. Right. But Keanu Reeves, I will say, like, he's got this different relationship with the world. He does. Like, and I, you know, like, have you seen the footage of them on set filming the staircase scene, and they're, like, moving?
He's carrying stuff, right?
They're, like, moving the production to film on a different spot on the steps, and he's got two of the crew's like cases, one in each hand, and he's just carrying them up the steps. Like,
he seems
we're picking up and
sure
moving.
That's not his double.
I think in his entire career, I think he's never come off as pretentious,
yeah,
or anything like that. I mean, he feels like Bill, right? No, he's Ted.
Yeah, he's Theodore.
He's Theodore.
Yeah.
That's who he always feels like to me.
And I will say, like, you know, it's funny because it's weird to point to a sequel as proof that he doesn't care about money.
Right.
But Bill and Ted 3 is a perfect example.
Bram Stoker's Dracula 2. No.
I mean, like, that movie was not a paycheck movie.
No, he wanted to hang out with his buddy.
Yeah, he's like, let's make one more of these. Right. This seems fun. Sure, I'll come do that.
Right.
And, you know, like that is not a movie where he got $100 million, where they backed up a truckload of money, like a Matrix 4 or something.
Ooh,
like,
boy.
Yeah, and that was bad.
Real
and
bad.
I hope he got paid.
I hope he did,
and
too.
And I hope he kept every nickel. But... But Bill and Ted 3, he did that because he was like, I want to spend my time doing this.
Yeah, I want to hang out with Alex Winter.
Yeah.
And we're going to have some fun. And Samara Weaving.
I always wonder if there's any kind of like Hollywood version of survivor's guilt and something like that.
It's like
he's made it like it just has F you money.
Yeah.
Whereas Alex Winter is like, and I mean, look, Alex Winter seems very happy with his life. And
I feel like he moved behind the camera.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to shit on Alex Winter, but when you there's Keanu Reeves, and then there's the other guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be hard to watch.
Andrew Ridgely.
Yeah, for
who's,
sure.
Who's that?
From Wham.
From Wham.
The guy who wasn't George Michael.
The other guy from Wham.
He's the Garfunkel of Wham.
Garfunkel at least had a couple solo hits.
Yes, he did.
Who did he marry? Did he marry somebody? The guy from Wham. Did he? Did he marry somebody from Heart?
Andrew Ridgely?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
He married...
Cameron Crowe married Nancy Wilson.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're married for 20 years.
Well, she did the music for a couple of his movies, like Singles. And
yeah, they met on... Because she... they met on the set of Fast Times, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
okay.
she was the music director on Say Anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Almost Famous and stuff like that. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
That probably makes sense why the music in that is so good. We're always like, yeah, Christopher Columbus really knows how to pick songs.
Cameron Crowe, I mean, he started as a writer
I said Christopher Columbus. You're right, Cameron Crowe.
Yeah. But I mean, it's...
Oh, sure, because Almost Famous is him.
Yeah, it's not like he can't pick music.
That's fair.
I interviewed Nancy Wilson once, and I asked her, how come you haven't written music for other movies? She said, because I didn't marry any other directors.
Great answer. That's a pretty good answer.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. There's... You know, we've talked about these action sequences. So there's the big one where we meet Donnie Yen for the first time.
Yeah.
Which is in Japanese Continental.
This felt like a bit of a retread.
This one
from
did.
That other scene. I forget which one where there was
three.
All the screens that they're hiding behind and the lights. And
sure.
It just felt, I was like, is this the same room?
are we back there?
Yeah. I thought, are we? I don't remember.
They finally rebuilt it and these two guys have to come back.
They destroyed it again. They're like, God damn it. John Wick's back again. But to play off of that,
they're fighting on the Death Star.
That's right. We're just going to kind of spoil it now. It's alluded that John Wick dies at the end of this. Everything kind of goes the way they want it to go, but he doesn't make it at the end. There's a post-credit sequence to this movie where
Donnie... Oh, there was?
Yes.
I left.
it's also... This movie this franchise isn't post-credit sequence thing.
Yeah.
It's not a thing.
And your movie's 3 hours long, and I'm 52 years old, and I had to pee.
You know what? When at the screening we went to, I saw these people coming in after being in a long line at the snack bar. And they're carrying the 2 gallon soda and popcorn and hot dogs and all this sort of stuff. And I thought, the running time is 2 hours and 49 minutes. Your bladder is going to either explode or you're going to have to leave. There's no way you can make it through if you drink all that.
Oh, man. I remember when I was in my 20s.
Oh, I could still do it. At the Draft House, they give you a soda like that size.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's reasonable. I can make it through. Yeah. You know, but when you're right, when you're drinking a 32 liter thing of soda, you're like, oh, you're going to miss the dance sequence, if you will. And Spider-Man 3 won't be as bad as we all said it was. But the post-credit sequence is so before we get there, there's a pretty impressive fight sequence in this new Continental.
So I haven't even seen articles about post-credit scenes explained like they do.
This
now.
Is kind of and this
so,
one is.
So without seeing it, I'm just assuming that they're setting up Donnie Yen and Mr. Nobody for...
It's not Mr. Nobody.
For spinoffs of some kind.
I could see... Isn't that Kurt Russell's name in the Fast Furious franchise? Isn't he Mr. Nobody?
I have no idea.
That's not
I know right. Bob Odenkirk made a movie called Nobody.
That's true.
I try to block out Fast and Furious movies.
Just wait, baby. We got another one coming.
I will be forgetting it while I watch it.
That's usually what I do with concussions.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what am I doing?
So is the spinoff from this going to be the Donnie Yen character and the woman?
Well, they're supposed to be doing Ballerina.
Oh.
I thought Ballerina was supposed to be the John Wick spinoff or the one that was already kind of locked in.
Is that the Angelica Houston thing?
No.
Oh.
Wait, was she in this?
Yep. She was in three
with the ballerinas. Okay.
You said Angelica Houston, but I heard Angelina Jolie. had one of those like Red Sparrow kind of movies, and I was like, that was
Jennifer
Salt.
Lawrence.
Well, I said kind of movies.
Salt.
There we go.
Not bad.
It was a cool scene on a truck. I remember that.
Isn't Atomic Blonde in this world? Am I making that up? The Charlize Theron?
Totally making that up.
Okay. All right.
There's nothing in Charlize Theron's world.
Well, that's fair.
That you can think about.
But so we get this big sequence, and the concierge of this hotel is the daughter of the guy that runs it.
In Osaka.
In Osaka, yeah. And I got to tell you, he, both Donnie Yen and, unfortunately, I don't remember this guy's, the actor's name, are both very accomplished martial artists on film. And they have a fight sequence in this that is astounding, with no music. That's the best part, is there's no soundtrack to it. It's just them. You can hear, you know, the fists and the swords clinging, and you can hear all this stuff, and I think it's amazing.
Great Foley work.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, which can't be easy in a scene like that, where you're like, okay, go,
yeah.
The guy that runs this hotel, this Continental, is killed. The daughter is injured and blames John for bringing this to this hotel. Like, if you hadn't come here, none of this would have happened. So the end sequence is Donnie Yen, the post-credit sequence is Donnie Yen going to see his daughter, who he hasn't been able to see, and the daughter of the guy that runs the Continental is in the crowd and waiting for Donnie Yen to go to his daughter so she can kill. So I have a feeling the next one will either be focused on Donnie Yen trying to save his daughter from this gal,
gotcha,
or it's the gal, either one. And I just think that whole scene, again, they have built this world and these elaborate sets and these elaborate action sequences. And you can tell there are moments with Keanu where he's just like, Christ, I got to fall off of thing again. And I think that's the thing that I like the most, is he feels the most real, like a real human. Because when he gets up, he's got like this weird bow-legged run.
Yeah.
Where like his knees are shot. He's just like so uncomfortable. I was like, yeah, you probably would be pretty uncomfortable if you've been a hitman and getting thrown around for 30 years.
Yeah.
I also saw a headline that said John Wick is supposed to be in Ballerina. So I'm assuming it either takes place before or there's some sort of flashback. Like, no, I don't think he's going to star in it, but I think he pops up.
Pops up. That makes sense.
You know, movies like this always violate one of the things that I hate in action movies, which is dead, not dead.
Yeah.
You know, oh, sure.
You shoot somebody twice, you look at him, you walk away, 8 seconds later, he's jumping on your back.
Right.
Because he's not dead. You didn't put that third shot in his brain.
Yes.
Brain is where you kill people. Brain.
We may have done a trope episode on the Patreon where Kevin hates, like, the Bond villain, when he's just explaining his, like, just shoot him in the face.
Yeah.
Why are you talking to him?
Right. That's one of the reasons I didn't like E.T., you know? Oh, he's dead. Oh, crying. Oh, wait, he's not dead. Okay, and now Neil Diamond gets a hit song. But at the end of this movie, at the end of this movie 4, we're supposed to believe that John Wick is dead. I'm going to guess no. I think there's going to be something going forward.
I think they have the ability to bring him back, but they also have... I honestly thought at the end of this movie, when they're standing at the grave, I was half expecting to be like a camera shot to be over someone's shoulder.
Right.
That's what I thought we were going to get.
For sure.
Yes.
Like, he faked his death, so they leave him alone.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And he's out.
Right.
And everybody, you know, everybody's safe. They kind of do that at Black Widow, but they do a pretty good, like, head fake where they, Yelena and Natasha had, like, that whistle.
Yeah.
They would do. And then, like, Yelena does it and you're waiting.
Right.
And they don't do it. I was like, okay, well,
yeah,
you did something right in that
By the way, the worst dead, not dead of all time is, was it Alexander Gudinov in Die Hard? Was that the guy's name?
Oh, the, okay,
yeah.
The long hair. The,
and he, yes, yes. Yeah. And then he gets killed by the dad from Family Matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great movie. I love that movie.
That's irritating. And they do it so much. And I get it. I think they're going to leave him dead. I think that's the intention. Let's say that.
I feel like you've got a John Wick story in these 4 movies.
Yeah.
Right? And you can end it here.
And they definitely made a point to insert characters into this movie that they can thread through other movies.
Yeah.
So you'll be excited when they pop up.
Right.
Because until this movie, I mean, with the exception of Winston, you know.
Yeah.
And the concierge, there really weren't any other characters that were living from movie to movie.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, he was. They killed Willem Dafoe, right, in the first one.
Yeah.
And they, well, I guess you got Lawrence Fishburne. But
okay.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he's also barely in any of these movies. He's probably got like 10 minutes of screen time total. I will say the dialogue for this one was pretty scarce.
Yeah.
You know,
with it.
I wrote this on my website. In 1980, whatever it was, that Rambo 2 came out.
Sure.
And Stallone, at that point, became the highest paid movie star in the world. $12 million for that
That's
movie.
That's nuts.
And I timed the dialogue in that movie. And it was 2 minutes and 10 seconds. I'm
Is
not
that right?
Kidding. 2 minutes and 10 seconds. No, I'm not talking
his
about
dialogue
the
dialogue?
Yes, his. Okay, okay. Not Richard Crenna. Right. Not his, anybody his, else. His dialogue.
His spoken word cumulative dialogue.
That's how much script he had to memorize. 2 minutes and 10 seconds. I bet it's less in this movie.
For John Wick?
Yes.
I think you're absolutely right. And his, I mean, it's one word. It's yeah. Kane or Winston, and that's about it. Can I have my ring back?
Yeah.
That's the extent of what he says.
Now, of course,
movie.
He's not getting paid based per word.
Right. No, sure, sure, sure.
If he was, he'd only be doing Aaron Sorkin movies. Yeah,
right. And I got to tell you, I don't want to see Keanu in an Aaron Sorkin movie.
No.
And I love Keanu. I think Keanu's fantastic. It's interesting. Nope. We've talked about like career resurgences.
Like Dirty Harry says, "Man's got to know his limitations."
That's exactly right, and yeah. That's one of them. But I do. It's fun to kind of see. You know, we got the what was the Taken, and we got like the aging action star coming back.
Yeah,
and Keanu, I mean, he did Point Break, but I don't remember him do a Speed is definitely an action movie.
Matrix,
yeah, for sure, for sure. But he kind of like pivoted away.
Yeah.
Like post Matrix of, well, besides Matrix 2, 3, and 4.
But there's a big gap between 3 and 4.
There is.
So basically 2 and 3.
And he didn't do Speed 2.
Yeah.
Which, good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if he had, it probably would have been a totally different and probably better movie.
For sure. And now, not to Jason Patrick, but it's Speed 2 on a boat.
That is Sandra Bullock's Jaws 4.
Is my name at the end of that script? I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So it is kind of fun to see him enjoying himself. Like, you know, yeah. He loves this stuff.
Yeah.
Like this is what he digs. So there well, is
especially because like he took the first John Wick movie basically as a solid. Right.
Oh,
like,
sure, sure,
like
sure.
He liked these guys. They were the stunt coordinators on the Matrix movies, and
right.
They're like, hey, we're trying to do this thing. And he's like, sure, I'll do that.
Yeah, why not?
I'll help you out.
Right.
Like this was never, you know, when we talk about him not caring about money, the existence of this franchise is kind of proof of that, right?
Very much
like,
so.
Like, he did this movie as a favor.
No, he had to. They gave him a coin.
You know that blood debt? I'm cashing it in.
But yeah, like, he, you know, like, this whole franchise existed because he did somebody a solid.
Yeah.
Because he was like, that sounds like a good idea, and nobody's going to greenlight this for you, so I'll do it. It's Smokey and the Bandit.
Nobody would screenlight Smokey and the Bandit?
Hal Needham was the stunt coordinator. I mean, this is the same story. Was the stunt director on all these Burt Reynolds movies. On
okay.
White Lightning and Gator and things like that. And what?
I just love those titles.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get those very much, you know.
Yeah. And he came to Burt Reynolds and he says, hey, I wrote this movie. It's, you know, and I just thought, if you could read it and maybe see if you could help me get it made somewhere, like super low budget.
And I'm going to direct it.
And I want to direct it. And Burt Reynolds is like, well, let me take a look at it. And like a week later, he finds Hal Needham and he's like, oh, hey, we're making your movie. And he's like, what? And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to be in your movie. I'm going to star in it. This is good. I like it. We're doing it.
That's so good.
And that's where you get Smokey and the Bandit.
Probably one of the top five action comedies of all time.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know how it can't be.
Probably.
I think that's a fan. Man, that there, you know, we've talked
the
about.
Second highest grossing movie of 1977. Like,
what was number one?
So like when you're trying to put into perspective how popular that movie was.
Sure.
It was only beat out by Star Wars.
Right.
Now, there's a big drop-off between 1 and 2.
I mean, come on.
To be fair.
Yeah.
But I think there's a pretty good drop-off between 2 and 3. Like, that movie was a beast. And
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And would have been easily the biggest movie of the year.
Timing.
Were not for Star Wars.
I guess they couldn't have done it in 78, could they?
Well, I mean,
Superman.
Yeah, they probably would have still lost.
Yeah, yeah. But that's hilarious. It's almost the exact same
yeah.
thing. And I don't think it feels like the Chad something is this guy's the
Stahelski.
Director. Thank you. There were two of them at one point, and I think they broke apart. And I think one of them went to do Atomic Blonde.
Okay.
And maybe Nobody. Like those two, like all of those kind of movies because Nobody is kind of the same movie.
Oh yeah,
it's, I mean, it's just Bob Odenkirk, you know, who got out of the life and now he's back in the life and does his, and Nobody is great. I thought that was a lot of fun. But there is something, you know, we talked about Scream a couple weeks ago about how it's probably the most consistent horror franchise as far as quality goes. Some of them obviously are not as good as others, but overall. And I do think that having the same creative team involved in this movie, that they have an idea of, you know, maybe not where we're going to go, but how we're going to end it.
I think it's hard to keep creative teams in place because people, if something's a big hit, people start dangling checks in front of them to do these other things.
You know, Marvel's like, hey.
And also, I think a lot of people, they don't want to make the same movies over and over again.
Yeah.
I think it helps that these guys were stunt coordinators and not auteurs.
Sure.
They're not film school grads that they're like, well, I made my action movie. Now I want to make my Victorian romance. Right? Like, it's, you know, like these guys, like they got their shot later in their careers and they're like, this is working.
Yeah.
I'm making good money.
And I
love it.
Yep.
I don't need to reinvent the wheel. I don't need to go off and do my, you know, fancy bedroom drama, right?
Bedroom, like, no, sure.
Like, it's, you know.
So,
do you think that those guys get other people coming up to them with ideas for movies? It's like John Wick, but in medieval times.
Oh,
it's John Wick in space.
I have no doubt. That, like, when everything was Die Hard, like that was the pitch for everything. It's Die Hard on a train. It's Die Hard on a bus. It's Die Hard on a boat. Yeah. It's
all kinds of different diehards. But
it's
so,
Die Hard in a screening of Die Hard.
You know, when Gene Roddenberry first sold Star Trek to NBC,
it was Wagon Train.
But yeah, it's Wagon Train to the Stars.
Wagon Train in space, yeah.
And they were like, done.
And they were like, okay.
You get one season.
Yeah. And that's just, everybody wants to bet on something that already has a track record. And
sure.
And the things that really click, that are really typically next level hits, are things that don't have track records, right? But the safer bet is to go with something that's already worked before. So yeah, you always get that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, American Graffiti is a hit. So you get Happy Days.
No, you also get American Graffiti 2, which was, it rhymes with hit.
Right.
Just put the letter.
God, it's been so long since I've seen
that. Put the letter S in front of it, and you win.
Yes.
Samaritan Graffiti?
Samaritan Graffiti, yeah, right.
But yeah, you know, when Animal House was a hit, three networks
created
fraternity-based sitcoms.
Oh, interesting.
And Delta House was the only official one that was based on Animal House characters.
Right.
But they all had, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark was huge, right?
Yeah.
You had, what, Tales of the Golden Monkey or whatever? You had two shows that, I forget the other one, but you had two shows that were knockoffs of Indiana Jones. When Blue Thunder was a hit, you got Riptide. You got Airwolf.
Yeah, I remember Airwolf.
Right? Like,
that's true. There is, yeah. Like, hey, man, it worked for here. Let's just do it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And we'll just, you know,
hope
for the best. But yeah, so the director of this is actually only directed 4 movies. Would you care to know what they are?
Do they
John Wick 1, 2, 3, and 4?
That's exactly it.
I'm like, well, since this is called John Wick 4.
Yes, he has only done these 4. He's attached to, like, 15 other things.
Yeah.
But David Leitch, who was the other guy in that little duo, he did Bullet Train with Brad Pitt. He did Hobbs and Shaw, which we all loved. Deadpool 2, Atomic Blonde, and then
John Wick. He was on a Deadpool movie.
You were right. You were absolutely right. He did Deadpool 2 when Tim Miller, I guess, couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So before we get out of here, we should mention
We haven't really broke down that final scene.
That's
on the
true.
Stairs.
Well, yeah. There were.
They got their duel, their old-timey duel.
Yes, they have a base, and Skarsgård being the smarmy little tucker, sorry, Kevin, that he is, he's able to put somebody else in his spot. And, of course, he tasks Donnie Yen.
Well, those are pretty standard rules for a duel.
I would think so.
You can have a second or someone to take your place. They seem to be following.
Really?
I thought that was.
I don't know. I've never been in a duel.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But
I slapped myself in the face with a glove once, but I didn't have to take 10 paces.
That was just.
I was just getting dressed.
Yeah, that was just pure. That's just his thing.
Yeah, just a little thing.
Yeah.
Get yourself going in the morning. Get that blood rushing.
You got to get up at 4 o'clock to do a morning radio show. Anything.
You got to do whatever you can do.
Yes.
He gets Donnie Yen to, and basically because he doesn't want to go up against John Wick, because of course he knows that he's going to lose. So I think this is pretty, obviously they say, you know, 30 paces out or 40 paces out. If you both miss, we'll go 10 paces in. And as soon as they give you that little rule, you're like, well, we're getting to 10 paces.
Right.
Like, that's what we're doing. That's, of course, what we're doing. And I think this ending sequence is kind of brilliant, where they're both getting what it's one shot. So like the first ones go off and Donnie Yen gets hit in the shoulder, or John Wick gets hit. Kane gets hit in the shoulder. John gets hit in like the arm. And as they get closer and closer, it's getting, you know, tighter and tighter and tighter. I also think,
can I just stop you for just a second and say, if I ever have to be in a duel, if somebody ever does give me the glove slap to the face, I'd like to go against a blind man.
Yeah, I know. That seems like, on paper, that would be the way to go.
Of course, this is a blind man who beat a dozen other people who were attacking him simultaneously.
So good. I like the doorbells that he used.
That was so smart.
Yeah. I thought that was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very clever.
So we're getting closer and closer. And of course, Kane gets the final shot off, and we think that John Wick is done for. And just when we think that he's done for, Winston goes, hey, hey, hey. So the Marquis, Bill Skarsgård, picks up the gun. He's like, I got it. I'm going to get the final shot off. And Winston goes, he didn't shoot yet.
Yeah.
And John turns around and blows the guy's brains out. And I was like, that was great.
Yeah.
That was such a great, a perfect ending. And then, of course, John like stumbles down the steps, and we think that he dies on the steps. The things that we didn't talk about that we'll touch on real quick.
Well, and then we see his grave. So
that's
true.
Yeah. And it says loving husband. And
yeah.
Yeah. We assume that John Wick is dead. There are certain action sequences in this movie that are absolutely unbelievable to see.
You mean like the one in the dance club where nobody who's dancing recognizes they should stop dancing a gunfight is going on?
I did think that at some point where I was like, y'all are just tripping balls, and like, hey man, that's part of the show. Like, this is what we're doing.
Excuse me, you're in my way. Boom.
Yeah, right. It wasn't until
it was loud. It was very loud.
Also true. It's not until they're fighting like in the rain, well, the manufactured rain, where the guests are like, we should get out of here.
Yeah.
It's time for us to go.
Yeah. I'm a little wet and chilly. We should go.
the two sequences that I think should be talked about from the end of time is the scene we talked about earlier with John, Mr. Nobody, who is this other character that is waiting until the bounty on John gets high enough where he can buy like a chateau in France and hang out with us, which I did think it was interesting that he has this dog, but they're the same dogs that Halle Berry, like the same breed of dogs that Halle Berry had in three. So I was like, are they going to say that this is somehow they're connected somehow, and that's why he's following John around? But they don't.
Yeah.
They never reference that at all. So they are in this building, and it, like we talked about, it's an over the head crane shot of John working his way through this building, and it is unbelievable. The dragon fire shotgun shells, which I was just like, okay, sure, we'll go with it. That's fine. It's unbelievable. I don't know how else to describe it. It needs to be seen on like the biggest screen possible because it is unbelievable.
This will not be a good movie on your phone.
It will not. No, don't watch it on an iPad.
Yeah. You will see someone watching this on an airplane in 3 months.
Yeah, right.
Be like, what is wrong
with
you?
Well, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And then the other sequence is the stairway sequence, where John, he has to get to this spot by 6:03. And of course, the Marquis is throwing everything he can at him to keep him from getting to this spot. And this is another one. I kind of referenced it to the hallway scene in Daredevil, the first season of Daredevil, but then also the hallway sequence in the original Old Boy, which if you haven't seen that, do it. Just be prepared for the end of that movie. Like, it is a mind.
Yeah.
But like both of the hallway scene in Daredevil is very much inspired by that. And this, I think, is like, you know that hallway scene in Old Boy? What can we do to make it crazier?
Where can we move it to?
Except so
it
that all these people killers get called to action by this woman DJ on some radio station that they all listen to.
Yeah.
You've been in radio. I have to ask you this. What's the regular programming of that station?
I know.
That they're always tuned into that station waiting for a hitman alert.
Right.
Yeah. It felt kind of like, I thought it was like an homage to the Warriors. It's kind of what I thought, but I was like, that's a pretty deep cut.
And now back to more Janelle Monáe.
So you get that sequence, and then there's also the sequence in, I don't know what that thing in Paris is called with all the cars, that loop.
It's a road.
Thank you.
No, that's around the Arc de Triomphe. That's a big circle.
And there's an action sequence there.
Yeah.
that is just incredible. Like, I don't know how else to describe that. It's just the technicality of getting all of that.
The doors ripped off his car, like Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes.
That's when he you know, throws it into park, and he's like, you know, he picks up the gun from the ground. I was like, that's the most action movie thing that I've seen in this movie. Like, they don't really do kind of like that silly action sequence. It's all pretty like real life based, except for some things where I was like, damn, you scratch the crap out of his knuckles. What are you doing? Those three sequences that I just are absolutely at that point, Donnie Yen is like, yeah, man, like I'm going with you. Like, we'll fight our way up this thing together. And they have a, you know, a little team up. This, I think, is unbelievable. I thought this movie was absolutely incredible from a action movie standpoint and from a filming standpoint.
Like, it just should have been about 40 minutes shorter.
I don't disagree that it was definitely... I walked out of the theater and I was like, God dang it. Like, why? That was a long movie.
Yeah.
And
it didn't need to be.
I think that the first
runtime added nothing to this movie, in my opinion.
The first... You could trim that first 40 minutes down.
You could easily take, and 40 is probably being aggressive, but you could easily take 20 to 25 minutes out of this movie.
But then they wouldn't have hit the 1 million bullets level. By the way, which do you think they have more of in this movie, bullets or candles?
There's a lot of candles.
I'm going to say candles because, as you said, all the gunfire CGI.
Yep.
Oh, well done.
He's got lawyered.
Speaking of bullets, I like when Lawrence Fishburne's character gives John the special gun so that he can go battle.
Like,
and it has 21 shots in the clip. And you can see that there are maybe four or five other clips in this box.
Yes.
And then he shoots, I'm going to say, 942 bullets.
Well, it is. I will say, this is the most, there are moments, you know, one of my tropes is when a cop pulls a gun and like racks the slide. And I was like, well, you either A, you're an idiot cop for walking around with an unloaded weapon in your holster, or B, you just wasted a round.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? So I do like in this one, he always kind of like pulls it back just enough, like to be like, all right, I'm good. And, but when he doesn't have any, you know, the special gun has like knives on the end of it. So when he takes the slide off, he can use it as like a knife.
It's got a clock and the compass.
That's right.
There's a toothpick.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of stuff. All kinds of good stuff. But I do like, for the most part, there is like, I'm not counting bullets because there's, you know, it's not like Dirty Harry.
They do that to stop us from counting bullets.
That's also true.
That's what
it's
about.
Not Dirty Harry where you're like, he's got a revolver.
So like 21. Four clips. That's God. Carry the one. I don't know.
You know what? It's probably, just shoot him.
That's not what we're here for.
Right. But he is always picking up somebody else's gun at one point and all that good stuff.
And they're never out of ammo.
Never out of ammo. Well, it kills him too fast.
Because he killed him.
But
so
I mean, this person has been shooting at him repeatedly. When he gets the gun, it's full of bullets again.
Of course, you get a reload.
Yeah,
it's like a video game.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Before we close, I found this article just now.
Yeah,
it's about duels.
Okay.
We like, well, oh, the perfect. Rules.
Yeah.
It's about this. So, and this is from the Library of Congress's website. So this should be pretty reputable unless you don't trust the deep state. So
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
They're out there. Yeah. So it says, what distinguished a duel from a casual barroom brawl or a street fight is that it's considered a rule bound affair. Right. So
okay.
Like, you got to follow the rules. To receive a challenge to a duel was actually a confirmation by the person issuing the challenge that they considered you a gentleman.
Oh,
yeah. If they had not, they probably would have just shot you in the face
or in the back of the head.
Yeah. It doesn't say that.
No. No. What it actually says is that they would have just attacked you with a whip or a cane.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kane.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was like, well, mm-hmm. I wonder if that's a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They well, did,
yeah,
he does attack him with a cane.
I know.
Like, do you think they really did that?
I mean, he knowing this movie, maybe.
I really hope that they did.
Yeah, maybe.
This is the initial... There are 39... Oh,
wait, you're hypothesizing that the people who wrote this movie went to the Library of Congress website to look up duels.
Well, all I got to say is duel rules. This is like the second hit.
Okay.
So it's not...
Maybe. Yeah, it may be.
The initial articles provide appropriate responses to various types of insults, counseling, an apology, or a lawsuit were appropriate. So, for example, Article 16, there are 39 total, counsels that should a gentleman strike another for a verbal offense, he cannot afterward require an apology for the offense.
Oh. Okay.
If you say something I don't like and I punch you in the face, I can't ask you to apologize because I already exacted.
Can we bring that back?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
But should the blow be returned, and I'm assuming they mean a punch.
All right, you punch me in the face.
Yeah. And he is injured or overpowered in the contest, an appeal will lie to the duel.
Okay, so... Okay.
So avoiding a duel by means of an apology or a lawsuit was not deemed appropriate in all situations. Article 21 illustrates that there are some instances where offering an apology is unacceptable because it would be interpreted as cowardice, stating that no apology can be made while a challenge is present, a previous withdrawal of the challenge being necessary for the purpose. Otherwise, the apology would seem to have been extorted by fear.
So wait a second. You issue a challenge to me for a duel. I can't say, you know what? I'm not going to duel you. I apologize and I'm leaving.
Right. Because that would make you, as they would say in old timey days, a pussy.
I was going to say a weenie.
Yeah. And yeah. So, but
I was going to go with a poultry reference there. Yes, yeah. I'm chicken. I'm leaving. Yeah. I'm not going to fight anybody.
But if I then say, you know what? I retract my challenge to a duel. Then
well, then I don't apologize. See
right. Right. So, but that's the whole. That's why it doesn't work. But I would think if you retract your apology to the duel, doesn't that make you the pussy?
That's what I think.
I don't know.
You can't once you put it out there, you can't bring it back.
You would think. Yes.
You gotta roll with it.
Yes. If the duel cannot be avoided by means that allow the combatants to save face, the appendix provides a diagram of the field of battle. It's a book.
I was like, there's a Cimmerillion for duels?
There's a legit book called The 39 Articles.
Okay.
So a diagram of a field of battle designating the location of the principal and seconds.
That's a lot of rules.
Yeah.
That's why The Quick and the Dead is so much better.
I mean, there's actually a diagram in this. You know, you cannot be too particular, generally speaking, in the choice of a friend. Sorry, this is like a scan of the actual book, so it's not easy to read. Some, from want of sufficient firmness, may compromise your honor. Others, from the false ambition, a fault of many young men, of having their name associated in any manner with dueling, may precipitate matters unnecessarily.
Okay.
So you don't want somebody who will chicken out, but you don't want somebody who's just going to egg it on for the sake of it.
Like, hey, man, go duel that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What
the positions of the parties on the field will be as in the diagram below, P denoting the position of the principals and S that of the seconds. So you have
So you have,
if you look at it like a cross, you have the P and P facing each other on 2 points, and then the seconds facing each other on the other points.
Hmm.
Yeah. Either second can measure the distance determined on by the challenged party, the later also having the choice of weapons.
Which they kind of do in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember to receive your weapon from the hand of your own second only.
Yeah, because you don't want the other guy to be like, by the way, here's your gun. No firing pin.
Right.
Good luck. Like,
that's good advice right there. Yeah. So it says trash talking your opponent on the field of battle is explicitly discouraged.
Oh.
Similarly, if you miss your mark, you could ask for another round of fire, but item 28 in the appendix counsels you not to use disparaging language toward your opponent, because if you did not hit him, it was not his fault.
So you can't talk him because he might miss?
Like, basically, if you shoot and miss, it's not his fault. Don't say bad things about
okay.
it. Your second must be cautious not to place you facing the sun or a strong wind, nor with any object such as a cow or a horse or a rock or tree ranging rearward, that's what it says, of you within the distance of 200 yards. Your second must permit no interference on the part of bystanders, except the manifestly irregular conduct of your antagonist's second make it necessary that he, your second, should confer with someone of said bystanders competent to give advice. I have no idea what that means.
Huh.
After taking your place, you will salute your antagonist with a distant but not discourteous inclination.
So no fingers.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Your second must see that your antagonist deliver his fire within the time and be ready to support you should you stagger from the effect of your antagonist's ball.
Basically, you get shot.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And if you break any of these rules, Clancy Brown will bar you from ever being.
You know what? I might break those rules just so Clancy Brown could be like, you're out of here. I was like, all right, man, you got it.
Yeah.
Avoid all harsh language toward your opponent on the ground. Gasconading.
So no taunting.
Yes. Before or after you deliver your fire is highly contemptible, which is what this guy does, right?
It is what this guy does. That's exactly. Yeah. He thinks he's got John Wick dead.
I think these guys read the rules, man.
They may have. These are pretty spot on.
After the duel, apply no recriminating or disparaging language toward your late antagonist. If you cannot speak respectfully of him, speak of him not at all. Oh. You called him out to render you satisfaction, and after granting you the rendezvous, if you did not hit him, it was not his fault. After the duel, listen but little to the impertinences of that tribe of diminutive heroes who traffic in apocryphal gossipery.
Oh. Twitter.
Yes. Twitter. Yeah. Who wink and nod and snigger and shake the head in ominous and terrible meaning of what they would have done.
Ah. Very much Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And who altogether comment with most voluble balderdash on... Sorry, Kevin. If this podcast was taking place in the 1700s, he would have to put a chicken noise where we say balderdash. On every duel that occurs or has been likely to occur, the totality of such things had as leaf achieve a somersault into Avernus.
That means that's some gossip.
As look into the muzzle of a dueling pistol. I have no idea what we're saying right now.
But, I mean, I don't think you're wrong. It definitely sounds like these guys followed the rules almost to a T.
Yeah.
Which, good for them. Like, if that's the love and care that you're going to put into this movie, that you're going to go back and find the dueling book of 1742.
Yeah.
Great. Good for you.
I mean, it's all about honor, right?
And that's kind of what that whole end sequence is about, is Donnie Yen is a man of honor and John Wick is a man of honor and the Skarsgård is not.
He is not.
And he gets his brains blown out.
Yeah. Final paragraph here. The best course of action is to avoid the kind of offense that lands you in a duel in the first place. For example, of the kind of insult that might instigate a challenge, the author provides an anecdote of a duel where a Frenchman named Gannett tried to seduce an American woman with a couplet lifted from the song Sweet Kitty Clover.
He just did a cover song.
Yeah. And it's got Kitty in the title.
That's true.
That's subtle.
And got shot in the face for it.
It read, "Your face is round and red and fat like pulpit cushions or redder than that."
So Don Rickles would have been screwed.
Yes. The Frenchman soon found himself challenged to a duel by the woman's brother. The seconds, believing that the subject of the duel was ridiculous, conspired to save the lives of the combatants by loading the guns with powder, but without a ball.
Yeah, you know what the seconds said? Are you killing this guy because he's with your sister or because he quoted a song?
Right. He called her fat and red, like a seat cushion.
Like a seat cushion.
The combatants fired away for 3 rounds until they believed their honor had been satisfied, suggesting that no good deed goes unpunished. Someone let slip that the guns were not loaded. Outraged by the deception, the woman's brother then challenged and killed his own second in a subsequent duel.
Mm-hmm. You bastard.
So there is...
That brother just wanted to kill somebody. Yes. That's really what it comes down to.
Absolutely right.
And he didn't like that red girl.
Right. No. Yeah. Don't talk about my sister.
Or he liked him a lot.
Or, yeah, no mama jokes, yes, apparently, in the Old West.
So anyway, yeah. I guess that's it for this one. We've also educated you on duels this
that's
week.
Right.
So you are welcome. So
it's a twofer.
I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. Don't forget, you can also follow me on Letterboxd at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
And Paul, where can they find you?
At Paul Harris Show on Twitter or harrisonline.com on the web.
And you can find me on Twitter.
I just told people that .com means you can find me on the web. Because that's... those are the rules I live by, Tom. Don't make me duel you.
That's okay. Every week on Carney, he refers to Real Spoilers as a downloadable podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's pretty great.
As opposed to the other kinds.
At least you don't say, and you can listen to us wherever podcasts are available. Really? I thought I'd get it at the gas station.
We're going to start doing that. Yeah. Just leave like little tapes of the podcast.
Yeah. So
tapes.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And wait, oh, you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Tony gives Matilda $100. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.